Hello and welcome to the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Daryl White and Jeremy Vest. Got something to say? Then crack open a cold one and leave us a message on the 24/7 Drunk Dial voicemail line at 702-530-5564. Enjoy the show and remember, friends don't let friends trade drunk.
All right, well, what's up, buddy? Another week, more rookies. We got Jalen Tolbert, David Bill, Danny Gray, and you threw a wrench in here on me, running back, Tyler. I was like, oh, wide receiver. And I was so confused for like 5 minutes. So
I don't even remember. I don't even remember how I got interested in this guy, but he's kind of one of those, you know, I have a running back every year that kind of pops out at me at this time. It was Jared Doakes last year, J-Rob the year before. So this is the guy this year. He went to Baltimore. So we'll talk about him and why I'm a little interested in him.
I will agree. There was definitely some pop there. As soon as I got to him, I was like, oh, wait a second. Just real quick. Please like, subscribe, leave reviews, especially on iTunes. Like, no joke, if you are on iTunes or whatever, just put us some stars. I don't care if they're one or five. Like, honestly, just something, right? We want the feedback. You know, I got kind of trashed on this draft right here for having this, you know, white background, killing the vibe. So I put the current snapshot of the draft, and guess who it's stuck on? Wait,
I like it.
They're nuts. Yeah. So, yeah. So give us feedback. We'll make some changes as we see fit, of course. So,
Story of the draft so far, getting stuck on people. We had a Bert losing his phone, or his phone broke or something. Jan just being MIA for 6 hours the other day. It's just like, whatever. I don't really care. I mean, it's just
I care a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know you do.
I think the longest I took was the 30 minutes I took today, and I was at a volunteer event. So, I mean, sorry for the 30 minutes. I apologize.
No one cares, Daryl.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry. I was trying to help like abandoned and abused dogs get adopted. So, but
very noble.
Yeah. I wanted to do the drop, but the stuff isn't working so great right now. But what are you drinking?
I am drinking this Birdsong Brewing Jalapeno Pale Ale. It's actually not like spicy or anything; just has a little bit of jalapeno flavor. Got it in my Dynasty Drunks cup, and I brought this Terramana Tequila. But I'm gonna pour myself a little shot of this while you're telling me what you're drinking.
That makes me a little jealous. I want to run over there and get some of the Jameson Orange that I brought home. But no, I got the Dos Desperados Hell Camino, which I kind of really like that name. But nice little. It's like a dark. It's almost like a red or like I don't really know what it is, to be honest. But it's pretty good, and of course, drinking out of the Dynasty Drunks cup.
So, I like that.
Yeah.
That one.
So, yeah, I was about to pull up the Big Dogs cup, and I would have to like, it's not obviously as big. It's, you know, 12 ounces versus, I think this is like 20 or 22. So, you know, guys, get a little more booze in it. But, yeah, so I poured it in that, and I was like, why don't I need to be using our stuff a little bit more? Then I was like, oh, I need to buy more of our stuff. And I was like, damn it, we're the only ones doing it. Like,
everyone needs to buy more of our stuff.
Yeah.
At least we had someone ask about the shop in the league this week. So
yeah, we gotta step up the description game and stuff. So there's some work we gotta do there. We're doing really good on the rookie previews and the other stuff, rankings, but yeah, we've kind of been lacking there. So
yeah.
Nobody gave us any drunk dials or tweets or nothing,
all that hype.
Yeah.
Everyone just failed us.
Kind of, this draft just keeps disappointing, doesn't it?
Yeah. You, apparently. I'm pretty happy with how it's going.
I'm not. All right. Hit me with the six pack. Some of this I get, some of this, or actually, sorry, take a shot. I forgot. I'm glad you highlight that for a second.
Yeah. This week, got Deshaun Watson in the take a shot. I figure they were supposed to, I guess we're going to get to a six pack, but there was supposed to be some news on him this week and didn't happen. So maybe this coming week and you can drink whenever you hear about that. I'm sure a lot of people will be. So
a combined six pack and take a shot. So
yeah. Especially, let's see, Bert. Oh, actually Bert, who took him in the first round of our Superflex drafts.
I didn't even know he went off the board, to be honest.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I blacked out like all the QB picks. And I'm surprised I took one where I did.
I was gonna say, honestly, don't you always black out the QB picks?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I was waiting for like a comment from you to say, oh, this will be last call, but to say like, holy shit, you took, you know, QB this early. So, but anyways,
that didn't even register for me either, to be honest. So. I was just so happy you haven't like put it on auto or quit yet. So
it's very close. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Hit me up with the six pack.
Yeah. So starting off, back to Watson. NFL is scheduled to meet with Watson this week. I'm not sure if that meeting happened or not. I didn't really follow up on that, but no news yet. I figure I would have heard something if something happened there. Next up, we got Tariq Cohen. I don't know if you saw this video yet. It was pretty.
I didn't see the video, no.
He snapped his Achilles on IG Live. It was audible. You could actually hear it pop. So,
gross. Okay, yeah.
He's had a long road back recovering, and I think he's probably going to be done now. Phillip Lindsay signed with the Colts. I mean, they've got Nyheim Hines there. He's been pretty good for him. I think it's just a depth move. Apparently owners are counting votes towards kicking out Dan Snyder, which is a long time coming. Happy to hear that.
Endorsed, yeah.
Yeah. And I've
there's so much drama with it. It's not even just the name thing. Like there's like all the sexual harassment stuff. Like there's, it just like keeps like, they keep finding new stuff. And finally the NFL is like, shit, we got to get rid of them. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. It's kind of looked at some cap savings on Fantrack. Come up with this list of players that could be cut due to cap, or to save their team some cap, and the players that could benefit from it. I'll just hit the big ones here. Kareem Hunt could save the Browns $6.25 million. Could see Dearness Johnson and Jerome Ford benefiting from that. Singletary, which I don't think this happens, but could save $2.5 million. James Cook and Zach Moss, who's pretty garbage. Let's see. That's about it, honestly. Yeah, Mark Ingram saves the Saints $2 million and Abram Smith.
That's why I was like, I looked at half this. I was like, why is this in here? Like, he has to explain this because some of these are not like necessarily relevant. Fine. If the one guy gets cut, cool. The next guy is fine, but we're still not like really actively investing. But I think the Miami one is kind of interesting just because there's so many
running backs there. So anybody gets
cut. This has to thin out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And most of these guys I found were, you know, depth guys. And some of these rookies, if they move up, it gives them a chance to do something.
Yeah.
I agree. And lastly, I just wanted to see if you had any guys that surprised you where they went in our current Superflex draft.
I probably should have thought about this.
Watson stuck out to me. I mean, that's huge boom bust. Like, he could be out the first year or longer.
I mean, Taylor falling to 111 for me, I didn't really expect that at all. I've got it up right now, obviously in the background as well.
Too bad you can't look behind you.
Aaron Jones. Yeah. Aaron Jones really surprised me. If we hadn't made that trade, I would have taken him there. So, yeah. I mean, it was kind of like, okay, it was kind of a wash for me, but,
Yeah, Aaron Jones, let's just to clarify there. He went at 8:02.
Yep.
So he's gone from being like a fourth round pick to an eighth round pick at this point.
Yeah.
In a startup.
Really, the only reason I didn't like stay with that pick was because it was like I have Taylor, Williams, and Chubb already. And I was just like, all right. Like, I mean, I got my second back, but I was just, I probably should have just kept it, but there wasn't, outside of Jones, there was nobody else I really wanted. So it was just like, fine, you know. But yeah, not, there's some surprises, but I'd probably have to look into it a little bit more. So
yeah, I don't think there's any. Oh, Rodgers falling to 7:09 was pretty surprising to me, honestly.
I would have taken Rodgers at the 8:02. If he'd still been there, I wouldn't have traded that pick.
Yeah.
Because I got the Carr at 5:11 and then Waller. So I went for that stack. So then I would have went for another stack there as well. So with Rodgers. So
yeah, that's about all I had for the six pack though. I just, some of that stuff was mainly just to fill it out. So we could actually have a six pack.
But yeah, we got a lot of rookie stuff, so don't necessarily have to do that. So
yeah,
I agree. All right. Let's talk about our first rookie here. Jalen Tolbert to the Cowboys.
Yeah. 88th overall pick. He's out of South Alabama. He's 6'1", 194 pounds, ran a 4.49 40. Positives on him. I just thought he looked very smooth on tape. He's got a nice package of release moves at the line and adjusts his speed mid route to shake defenders. Uses sudden feet for clean breaks at the stem of routes. Displays good tracking and adjustment to snag off target throws. He's got strong 10 inch hands. I like to point that out, to win 50-50 balls.
I just know every time the hands.
And finishes his catches through contact. Kind of like to see this turns into a defensive back when necessary. He catches it or nobody else does. He's added some slot experience as a senior after playing outside previously. Only one Power 5 opponent, but he made it count versus Tennessee. 7 catches for 143-1 against the best competition he faced last year. Holds the record for South Alabama wide receivers with 178 receptions, 3,140 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 10 100-yard receiving games in his career there. Negatives, the last three seasons he saw an increase in drops from 4 to 5 to 7. Doesn't have true breakaway speed after the catch. He tends to drift a little bit early in his routes, and he can tip his break or the route path sometimes. Doesn't cause many missed tackles, so he's not going to shake anyone. Allows corners to run him out of bounds by squeezing the sideline, so he kind of hugs the sideline a little too much sometimes, and it makes it easy for the corner to, you know, basically block him out. Underwhelming blocker and not a lot of special teams experience, and that's all I had.
A lot of some of those at the end are always kind of the same things. Yeah, but no, it at least needs to be said, right? Yeah, just to kind of build upon your record-setting thing here. Junior year set the school season records in receptions and yards, first in program history to reach 1,000 yards, and one of 11 in the nation with 1,000. So I thought that helped a little bit better, right? There's only 11 other that at least at 1,000. So that's pretty nice. Ranked 6th in deep ball catches and yards. That's according to PFF. QBs had a 116.9 when targeting him. And this might be one of my favorite stats. I bring it up all the time. So, and the thing about him is like, as I read about him, I was very excited. And then I watched him and I got a little less excited. But anyways, 96th percentile dominator and target share. Which is pretty nice. Basically, he was the number one wide receiver in the Sun Belt Conference, right? So, I mean, we don't hang up the Sun Belt as some great conference, right? But if you think probably about the sheer number of wide receivers that there are, I mean, that's pretty good, right? Acrobatic catches on the sidelines, you know, toe taps, whatever it may be. Really like that stuff. And then I feel like part of the drop problem is him trying to make catches on bad balls, right? So, like, I'd have to figure out, like, how they're scoring them, right? How do you score drop? Because I think I saw, like, we look at several different players, and there's one player that has, like, you know, 15 drops, right? And then PFF will say 6, and then another will say 12, you know? So it's always kind of hard to judge what you're looking at. But I saw him trying to make a lot of catches that maybe, you know, weren't his fault, whether it was a drop or not. Like, if he had dropped that ball, I'd have been like, well, he really just tried, you know? Yeah. If it hit your hands, like, I get it, you're supposed to catch it, but, like, it was just a bad, really bad throw. Like, so, but, yeah, that's the only thing I really had on the drops. But a little bit of the negatives. This might be kind of odd to say. I felt like when he was running, he was really choppy. Like, I felt like he could be such a longer strider, right? Like, I felt like his legs were always very close together. I don't know. That's like the first time I've ever, like, kind of felt that way. And I don't even know what to make of that. So, like, I just, it's like, what is going on here? But, so I don't know. I have that. And I do worry about his ability to separate. Seemed like there were several times when DBs were very close on a catch. So that says, like, maybe some contested catch ability, but it just, like, seemed like too many times, like, he was not far enough away from the DB, right? So I worry about that a little bit. So I don't know. I'm, like, 50-50 on him. Like, I like that he went to the Cowboys. I like a lot of stuff I was reading. But yet, when I watched him, I was a little concerned. So I don't know. The only thing I really actually am sure on this is that if you own Michael Gallup, I think you probably should be worried, actually.
Yeah, maybe pick up this guy as a backup plan.
I think Mike Gallup's gone soon, and I've never thought he was good. So that's my opinion. So
I disagree. But
all right. Okay. Well, you can have Michael Gallup. So we're supposed to disagree a little bit, right? So
exactly, that's why this works. Can't be agreeing on everything.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna take Michael Gallup so I can try and trade him to you.
Who did you take in this draft? Didn't you take somebody in this draft where I was like, what? You don't even. No, it was that.
Chubb.
Yeah, Chubb.
It was Chubb. Yeah.
Of course. Last thing. I think he just needs to tighten up a little bit on a few areas of his game, but he has some good starting traits. I mean, that could lend itself to him taking over Gallup's role. But
I will say it. Gallup will not be in Dallas because of him.
Okay.
I don't feel like that's that bold, but I'm willing to say it.
I mean, Gallup just signed a new contract, but it's there's an easy out there, I believe. So, all right. Yeah, next up we got the Browns' 99th overall pick, David Bell, wide receiver out of Purdue, 6'1", 212, 4'6", 5, 40. Positives, good size. Good size and body control. He was a former basketball player. Strong hands, don't allow many drops. He tracks and adjusts to the ball well. Escapes press with quick feet and hand action, so he's basically just hand swipes. Definitely not with his quickness. Physical demeanor and takes advantage of poor tackling form. Coaches say he consistently plays through minor injuries. So just a guy that's willing to go out there, not like just a baby. You like to see that. He set the Purdue record with 17 100-yard receiving games and 29 career games. So 17 out of his 29 games were 100 yards. Head coach Jeff Fromm says, I think he's a phenomenal receiver and an even better person. So positive character traits. Some of the negatives here, I mean, with that 4.65 40, you got lacks explosion to shake defenders at the top of his routes, average long speed and takes a bit to get going. So no, his long speed isn't great. His quickness isn't great, but I mean, he does have some other traits that are good. So long press corner. Yeah. Lengthy press corners can slow him at the line. I was like, long. That doesn't really.
This is your own writing.
I know. It's been a minute. It's been a long day, Daryl. Not shifty, and he lacks change of direction skills. Not much creativity post catch, and he takes what's given, but doesn't really get anything else. He's a willing blocker, but not great at it. One game missed last season with a concussion.
Yeah, I got a real quick question. Like the I don't know, whatever their head coach's name, whatever. Like they're making like this deal of like David Bell, no matter what, like this draft day thing. Like, is this all just PR? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, it makes me want to like just burn the. Yeah. Anyways, I wanted to curse there.
Sure. The Browns did that.
Yeah, the head coach or GM, whatever, was like.
I think we said effortless already. So. Huh? I think you said effortless already.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you're right. But anyways, but yeah, but it was that's a noun. It doesn't count. Like, yeah. But there's like something. It was like, oh yeah, like you know, David Bell, no matter what. I'm just like, oh my god, like, and that I don't want to even get into that because I'm about to start getting onto that, so I'm not getting on. Anyways, 94% tile breakout age. I probably could have had 1,000 yards all 3 years. But there were, you know, COVID, obviously, right? I really liked the very consistent production. You know, I'm obviously, you know, being a little liberal with the COVID year, but it tracked well, right? Yeah. So that's pretty nice. I threw this quote in, not knowing that you had a quote. So for the write up later, but they're both pretty good. Iowa coach Kirk. Fernitz called Bell one of the best wide receivers he's ever coached against. So that's pretty cool. Like the other coaches acknowledging, right, yeah, that he's pretty good. So I do like that. 25 missed tackles. That's third, according to PFF. And then here to PFF as well. This is what really scared me away, actually. Graded below average by PFF. Everywhere on the field, but on the right. So, which is weird because I saw a lot of like highlights where he's like moving to the left or on the left. But I think that's probably, I don't know how they grade, probably about where he lines up. Like his whole heat map was like below average, like all the way over here to the left. But on the right, it was like good. It was above average, right? So, I'm worried about his ability to move around on the offense, right? And I was trying to do some research on where Cooper like likes to play or lines up or whatever, but I don't know. I can find it. I don't know how to find it. So I wanted to really hammer that home, but I couldn't get the information to do it. So that worries me. He just doesn't look fast either, which is a thing I like to look at. We'll get to the one of these guys, right? I got some aspects about them. It's like I want eyeball test, right? How do you look in the eyeball test? Yeah. The other thing is, wasn't Rondale Moore the best wide receiver there? Right.
If you want to call Rondale Moore receiver, sure.
Well, I'm just right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Rondale Moore.
Well, I think that was kind of the knock on Bell is Rondale Moore. Commanded so much attention in that offense that it was like, oh, of course someone else is going to benefit from that, and it's David Bell. But after Rondale Moore left, he put up a 1286 in six season. And actually last year, he was first team All-American, first team All-Big Ten, Big Ten wide receiver of the year. He was in 2019 as a Big Ten freshman of the year. Like he was, and he had 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns as a freshman. So,
That's
his production profile is great.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just like just the way he looks as an athlete is not very impressive.
Yeah. No, the production is amazing, and that's what like it's kind of one of these guys. I'm just like, this looks good, but this other thing doesn't look good. So,
yeah. As far as the like the athletic profile versus the production, like it's he kind of reminds me of Quintez Cephas, another Big Ten receiver. That other coaches talked up crazy. Darius Slay, who played against him in college, like one of the top cornerbacks, said that he was like one of the worst wide receivers to play against because he was so good.
Oh, but I love Cephas.
I do too, but I just
I mean, not anymore. Yeah, I still like him, but I could see where that road's going now. So.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like this is where David Bell's headed, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not drafting him, so it's fine. Yeah,
yeah. I've already drafted him in a couple spots or one spot actually, and yeah, after looking at him closer, I don't feel great about it, but
that's what everybody says about me. So. Anyways,
next. Yeah, to wrap up Bell though, just gonna say doesn't really have ideal speed or explosion for the NFL, but he is a productive, I guess, ball winner. He has body control from his basketball history and some toughness that may translate well to the NFL game. I think if they find a nice role for him, he's got a high potential for a high floor starter if he gets in there. But I don't know. Just the athletic profile scares me.
The Browns scare me.
So. Well, yeah, that's always for sure.
Despite some of my recent draft picks. All right, next up, the Ravens draft. The 49ers take the Debo replacement here, Danny Gray.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver out of SMU. They took him at 105 overall, 6 foot 197, ran a 4.3 3.40, and a 10 foot 6 inch broad jump. The positives on him: excellent athletic traits, ran a 4.3, like I said, the 40 and the broad jump. Has a pretty good size. I think he could probably add some muscle to the build, but pretty good size there. It has speed to eat up defensive back cushion. He ran 22. He was clocked at 22 miles per hour at the Senior Bowl. Natural tracking skills and times the ball well for over the shoulder grabs and to kind of end up in front of defenders. Explosive and instinctive post catch, outruns pursuit angles a lot. Like he's got that just quick enough to get past these tacklers. Great twitch as a route runner. He works at every level. I saw him catch passes short, mid, deep. I mean, he pretty much did it all at SMU, and he's a good blocker. He might be one of the first receivers I've said that about. this year. Negatives on him: lean frame, not the ideal build. Like I said, 197, 6 foot, I mean, a little lean, but I mean, he's still young. Too many throws end up off his hands. He had 7 drops in 2021 and 10 the last 2 seasons. Doesn't break many tackles due to average contact balance. So basically, if he gets hit, he's probably going down. Not a physical receiver. He needs to work on his play strength. Didn't see a lot of press coverage in college, so he'll need to develop those skills as well. Minimal special teams experience, and he missed multiple games each season at SMU. What do you got, Daryl?
Yeah, 98th percentile 40 and a 42 percentile speed score. Well, that's kind of obvious with the 40, right? But so, and then he won the high school.
92. You said 42. I just want
to. Oh, shit. 92. Yeah. I apologize. 92. won the high school state championship in the 100 meter and the 4x100 relay. So, yeah, and I spelled "and" wrong on there too, so that's all right. another, once again, the thing I like, 133.3 QB rating when targeted. That's pretty nice. And then, you know what? Honestly, I do this. It's a negative and a positive. I like the player. I hate the team, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm in that situation where I'm like, ugh, you know? Yeah. I really do think this is a Debo replacement because there's – I think – I understand that Debo hasn't been moved or anything like that, and it's basically, I think, because the 49ers have all the cards right now, and all Debo can do is hold out. But Shanahan and how I think they're going to like run that organization right now with, which I kind of agree with, is that, yeah, okay, cool. Like, when we can move you, we'll move you, right? Like, they're not going to do it early. They're not going to do it if they don't have to. If you want to sit out, you sit out. Fine. Cool. That's on you.
No, I mean, Shanahan thinks that he can just throw whoever in there and make it work. So
and
maybe he can throw Danny Gray in there, and that's through your whole thing.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'll never say that, you know, X is a replacement for X, right? It's nice to say we have parallels or comparisons, right? And I'll do that, of course, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's what's happening here. Like legit, so I don't even really like Debo, so but I take him just because of what his price that you can get him at and like what he maybe the role he will take over,
right? Oh, yeah. I mean you're banking on Debo moving, but I mean at his costs it doesn't really matter. I mean at the he's not even getting drafted in a lot of rookie drafts have done, so you can just pick him up on waivers for a dollar or less, you know. But yeah, I agree. I like him. I don't really like the landing spot, but I think he's gonna take some more polish on his routes and needs to work on the drops. But I mean, a lot of these receivers come in with drop problems.
But everything he's doing. He or has been doing is exactly what the 49ers are doing.
Yeah.
Right. They don't need polished wide receivers. They don't need good quarterbacks. Like I'm about to get pissed off by the 49ers, but yeah, like, we're not going to talk about that. But
I just kind of see his ceiling as a team's wide receiver three, maybe a two eventually, but If Debo stays and he can develop a little bit behind him, then I like it.
I think that if they let Ayuk be a real wide receiver one, and then he takes over Debo.
I'm hoping that happens because I love Ayuk, man.
The 49ers have a good way of dashing a lot of my hopes. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you. All right, that's it on Danny Gray. Next up, the Ravens took running back Tyler Beatty at 196 out of Missouri. He is 5'8", 197 pounds. He ran a 4.45 40. His positives.
I watched myself like just over.
I thought it looked a little different for a second. Beatty, positives. Pumped up, muscular build, and he just has some juice, man. Reminds me of Tariq Cohen a little bit, guy that we talked about earlier, snapping his Achilles. Sad. Yeah, he has quick feet to make sharp lateral cuts, low center gravity and strong balance, helping bounce off would-be tacklers. Seems to have a natural feel for blocking lanes and great instincts. His eyes and feet are tied together to go where the hole is. Excellent receiver and consistently catches balls away from his frame. For a guy his size, I mean, you kind of want him to end up being a third down specialist pass catcher because he probably isn't going to be too durable. And if he can catch the ball well, even better. Only two drops on 107 targets the last two seasons. Hasn't fumbled since his sophomore season. He seems to get better as games go on. 6.8 yards per carry in the second half of games in 21. Despite his small stature, had great durability. He played 46 games in his college career. And Missouri record 1,604 rushing yards in 2021, including 5 200-yard games. So 5 200-yard games, yeah. Negatives, played at below 200 pounds, and his frame looks basically maxed out. I mean, kind of like Tariq Cohen. I mean, Tariq looked pretty maxed out his whole career, basically. He doesn't have power to break tackles at the line or push the pile. I mean, I think that's just a size and weight thing. You can't really do anything about that. Gambles on the big play at times when a safer option is available. Sometimes he looks too patient at the line, just kind of waiting for something to open up, and nothing happens, so he just ends up losing yards. He's willing but limited in pass pro due to his size. Inconsistent vision leads to bad angles as a blocker. Only one season as the full-time running back, and the only special teams experience was as a kick returner. That's all I got on Beatty.
That was actually a pretty good list, though, like on the positive sides. And I guess we're saving the best for last again here. But 90th percentile, 40. And honestly, I feel like he looks faster than his 40. Like some of the stuff I was watching, I was like I was worried about the number, the 4.45, which, you know, I run like a 6.90 or something, but like it looked faster.
I feel like the small guys always look faster because they're little legs, you know, just okay. Like Wandale. Just
well, let me jump to the other thing. I don't think he looked that small, like honestly. Yeah. Like, obviously, like, there was, like, a touchdown celebration with a 6'4 wide receiver. He looked a little smaller. But, like, when I looked at him, like, in formation, running through the line, I was like, this dude's 5'8"? Like, what? Like, that's what I was kind of confused about. I think – let me go with the obvious. I think this is easy, but also, like – it took me like three highlights or three plays, and I was like, kind of looks like Darren Sproles. Like, I don't want to take, because he was the same, like, kind of size-ish. I don't want to take that easy route, but it's just like, that's the first thought, right? So, yeah. You know. His BMI, so we think about Frank Gore, right? Frank Gore had definitely a period of, like, good production. He was never exceptional or anything, right? But BMI for running backs suggests that they're going to have longer careers and be healthier, right? So, like, and you're talking about 30 or something above, right? He has like a 30 something BMI. Like, I think it's 30 point something. So that suggests that he's going to be healthy. He's going to play. He's going to have a longer career, right? So I like that. And I think, you know, Sproles had a higher BMI because, you know, weight and height based. I think this says more about Dobbins, honestly. Like, when I watch him, I'm not saying it's a Dobbins replacement, but I don't think the Ravens trust Dobbins at this point. I don't think they trust his injury right now. I think, and I like Gus Edwards, you and I like Gus Edwards, but like they haven't committed to him at all, I think, what we would want to see, right? And I think this is a little bit more of a commitment to somebody else than maybe, you know, these other revolving like running backs. So I don't know. If you're Dobbins owner, I would probably try and snag him, honestly. Just because I think Dobbins is going to go down again, you know, and I don't think he's going to be there for the long haul.
Interesting.
I don't have a lot of Dobbins shares for the record. So I'm not invested in this, but
I'm not surprised.
The most concerning thing I have and or the negative is that he did play or was behind Roundtree, which we kind of liked, I think, a little bit. But
liked. I don't like him now.
Well, last year I'm referring. Yeah, yeah. We were like kind of okay with him, right?
Yeah. Just we covered him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I liked where he went. Like, you know, like, yeah. I liked enough of it, you know. So I'm just a little worried that he didn't necessarily take over. But that could be a size thing, and I get the size thing, but I don't know. I'm not so worried about the size thing with him, to be honest.
Yeah, he was impressive, man. He was first team all SEC, led the SEC in rushing, and led Missouri in receptions with 54 receptions. Yeah, he had 268 carries last year, 1,604 yards, and 14 touchdowns. So, I mean, he showed some durability. I mean, you can't deny that. But, I mean, everyone else is bigger and faster in the NFL. So, I mean, it seems to always catch up with these little guys. Like I said earlier, he reminds me of Tariq Cohen.
And, oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
See what happens.
I really liked Tariq Cohen. Like, I really did. Like, I understood that he was smaller and stuff, but and that's kind of like the gamble, right? But we're talking about guys that are just kind of so far back and kind of doesn't matter, right? Like, you're not investing, like, so much capital in. You really have to think about this. It's if you like him, you take him. If you don't, you know?
Yeah, and you know, the Ravens are concerned about these injuries with Edwards and Dobbins. They brought in freaking Mike Davis.
I need that.
Yeah,
imagine.
Right.
No. And that's kind of what I kind of see right here, and I'm kind of a negative Nelly a lot, or whatever. You know this. I'm very pessimistic, but
you?
What? Yeah, no, I think this is some trouble for Dobbins.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know what's going on with those guys. I mean, anything could happen. I mean, I've liked Dobbins.
You say we have to disagree more, so I'm just
kidding. No, I mean, that's totally fine. I mean, but I still like where Dobbins is going. Like, he went 4-11 in this most recent draft, and I mean, that's fine by me, honestly.
11? So that was all right. I don't know.
Four 4-11 after Barkley, after Ken Walker, right before Jacobs and Gibson and Akers, which all three of those guys, I'm glad we're off the board.
I would have taken Pittman, McLaurin, Jacobs, and Walker went before, so probably not. So,
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's so Beatty, kind of wrap him up a little bit. So we hit undersized, twitchy, juiced up ball carrier, great balance, good field vision, pass catching traits. He can be an asset in the NFL backfield with just those pass catching traits, but he also has a great production profile from college. I think, not to beat this dead horse, but Tariq Cohen in that mold, or Darren Sproles, I like that too. I feel like, I don't know how much Darren Sproles weighed, but he always looked stockier to me.
He probably weighed more. I'd have to look, but yeah.
But yeah, that wraps up our four rookies, though, and can move on to the next segment.
Oh yeah, it doesn't actually work that well.
It sucks.
It sucks. I'm trying to make stuff better. I actually would like you know, now we're in the bullshit hour, but trying to make the drops work. And then, but I also like my like video editing mind, like an enjoyment wants to like make some crazy shit when I hit the button, like, you know, so we're just not looking at our faces for whatever, 45 minutes, an hour. This is going to be an hour plus. Right.
But surprisingly, the YouTube's doing pretty well lately. So.
We changed up the thumbnails, the background, like this work. So,
yeah.
So we can talk about that, but I think it's working out. So, but always give us your opinions. My background changed based off an opinion. We were here to help people, like seriously, or help ourselves too. But
yeah, exactly. Happy hour. So first up on the happy hour trades here, the first startup trade. That kind of shocked the whole league at that point. I sent 205 and 508 for 106 and 906. That gave me two firsts, and I picked up Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. I know Daryl hates it because it's quarterbacks, but
hoping I could trick you out.
Yeah, this particular super flex draft started out with five QBs, and I traded for the sixth pick, so I wouldn't be left out on those quarterbacks.
Do I have to just like, I don't,
I mean, I know you hate it, so I don't really need to just say anything.
That's, you know what? It's not even that I hate it. I mean, I'm very happy that I got Jonathan Taylor at 1-11. That's all I can say.
Exactly. I helped you out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you
had two more quarterbacks before you,
that's awesome. I appreciate that, but I wouldn't have taken a quarterback at all. At the 5-11 where I took him was still too early for me. But I was just like, nobody else was there that I liked. So, anyways,
yeah. No, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at in this draft. If there's no position player that I like there, I'm probably going to take another quarterback.
I did miss a trade from Jacob that it was like, oh, my turn. And then I was like, I was just ready to make the pick, especially like, cause you sent me a message like, oh, Taylor's there. So I was like, I was just ready to pounce. But I had a trade from Jacob, and I was like, after looking at that trade and knowing who he was going to take,
yeah,
I was like, fuck. Like, I should have like just taken the trade, because now I'm running into the situation where I don't have the ammo to get people I want. Like, you know, and it maybe that would have helped me get to that point. So maybe I went ahead Taylor, but you know, whatever. So
gotcha.
Up your trades, and then I'm gonna want to talk to you about this other sub item.
Yeah. And then I sent Rogers, I texted you about this one. Sent Rodgers for a 23 first and seconds team I'm not contending on. I think that's more than enough for Rodgers at this point. His 23 picks are pretty valuable, as we've seen in this draft that we're doing right now.
Hold on. Wait.
What's that?
No, I disagree.
Thank you for tuning into the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Until next time, remember, NFL players don't care about your fantasy team, but we do.